This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I have a list of jobs, of professions, and in some cases I call these vocations. You ever meet somebody in a job and you feel like they're just meant to do it? That they were born for whatever that job is? Maybe it's, I don't know, a professional athlete. Maybe it's a lawyer. Some people are so good at lawyering, they seem like they were just bred and born for the position. So I've got a list of 10 jobs here. And as I was going through this list this morning, I literally know women that are in each and every one of these fields and don't know if I know any men that work in any of these fields. And these are fields that are dominated by women. At some point, I want to talk to what happens when men work in fields that are dominated by women. So these are women dominated fields. And I'm wondering why we don't encourage men to go into some of these fields. Do we still assign someone's virility or their masculinity based upon what they do for a living? And we shouldn't do that. I've seen male nurses before, had a male nurse before. I mean, you're used to it. After a while, you get used to it. It's rare, but you know that male nurses exist. But for some reason still, I know even me saying that, some of y'all raised your eyebrow. A male nurse? Why would a man want to be a nurse? Hell, I don't know. I don't know why anybody would want to be a nurse. Zero glamour. It's a very important job. And sometimes nurses are much better than doctors. They may have the best bedside manner and the doctor may not. Nurses are wonderful people. They're very good. But the job is, I wouldn't make it through a week of nursing school. What they have to do? Oh, it's bad. All right, guys. So I'm going to give you a list of fields and vocations. And these fields are projected to grow. That is why I'm bringing these fields up. I don't know where we're going to get the workers from. Eventually, we probably will come to the understanding that all the people that want to come into this country at the southern border, we probably should just, you know what I mean? We got to let them in because some of them need to do the jobs that Americans don't want to do. Or as America is graying and getting older and having less and less children, we're still going to have demands for productivity, demands to make things and to produce, but we may not have the people to do it. And the part that's so perplexing to me, because I know America very well. I've been here my entire life. In fact, I have never left the country. I will be leaving the country soon. 2024 is the year in which Sherwin will do international travel. But I'm just going to say I'm on assignment. So when y'all hear Jason Fields or somebody filling in for me, it's because I'm on assignment. I just got my first passport in the fall of 2019. And I was really excited to traveling internationally all of 2020. So I was so happy. It was in October. I got my passport. And I was so happy. And I was looking at trips. And I was like, oh, man, 2020 is going to be the best year of my life. I'm going to go all over the world. I had destinations planned. I wanted to go to Montreal and Vancouver and Cancun and Tulum in Mexico. And I wanted to cross the Atlantic. I wanted to do so many things. And I just kept telling myself in the fall of 2019, I was so optimistic. I was so hyped up. I can't remember the last time I was that hyped for a year to start. I was like, 2020 is going to be the best year of my life. Well, guess what? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. So I'm going to pick up where I left off 4 short years ago. COVID slowed me down by 4 years. It put my ambitions and dreams on hold. But don't worry, I'll be back. All right, guys, let's see what we got here. Number 10. 90% of the female workforce of medical assistants, 90.6% are female. Median pay, oh, that's low, $33,610 per year. Requirement, post-secondary certificate. Well, I guess that makes sense. All you need is a certificate after you get your high school diploma. job growth outlook for the 10 years between 2018 and 2028 is 23%. That makes sense because as America gets older, we call it the graying of America, we're going to be much more reliant on medical services, healthcare services, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and having more medical assistance is necessary and needed. But we're going to have to figure out why all the people at the border, first of all, why do they want to come here? Do they know what it's really like? Because they, I don't know if they've been told the truth about when they get here, because they're, a lot of them are Latino and Hispanic, even though there's people from all, here's what's crazy. There's people from all over the world that are migrating to America through the southern border. So they'll like catch a flight somewhere and they'll just like join a pack of people. They just see a pack. And sometimes they, because you can't try and figure this out, because you have to look like you're a part of the pack. Like you can't get out of a plane, you know, at Mexico City wearing a business suit with a Gucci suitcase and then join a pack. You gotta like tear your suit, put some dirt on your face. You gotta look. That's not funny. But there are people, they're finding migrants that want to get into the United States without having to do all the paperwork. First of all, why is there even paperwork to come here? We need people because people aren't having babies anymore. I'm just so confused why people want to come. It's probably because where they live is so much worse that America looks like a reasonable alternative. Plus, we share a border. We share a lot of border with Mexico, like 2,000 miles, 2,500 miles or something. But I'm perplexed. And I think a lot of Americans, if it was easy for us, we would go and live somewhere else, especially African Americans. But I don't know if y'all know this. Nobody really wants us. During George Floyd's protests, I think she was the mayor of Accra. Am I saying it right? Accra in Ghana. She recorded a video because the whole world saw what happened with George Floyd. And the mayor of Ghana, or maybe she the president. I think she was the mayor of a city in Ghana. She recorded a video that went viral on social media saying, come home to Africa. We will not treat you like that here. Please come home. You do not have to deal with the oppression in the United States. Please come. We will have a house for you. We will have food for you. We will have everything you need. Come home to Africa. And it was very heartwarming because it was the first time that African Americans had ever been invited to another country to live because nobody wants us. I haven't seen the Italians record a public service message trying to recruit black people because conditions are so harsh for us in America. Because the Italians know what we go through. And the Germans, I don't know if you want to go to Germany. Germany is, I don't trust Germany. They're dealing with fascism all over again in Germany, too. And they did it, like, big time. So Germans, would you like to come to Germany? Come join us, please. If it'll be the last place that you ever visit. Anyways. Yeah, but nobody is recruiting us. And maybe if we had a conversation with the migrants, but I don't think that would change their mind. Because when they come over here, they're going to be treated disparately. There's going to be racism. There's going to be bigotry because people are afraid that the migrants that come here are going to take their jobs. And in some cases, they probably will, because if a woman who's got 6 children and like no shoes, if she can take your job and you're an American citizen and you went to school here and you know the language here and you know the culture and the customs of America and you have all the things that Americans have, if you are afraid of losing your job to shoeless Maria, then you deserve to lose your job because you suck really bad. If they're going to choose... Shoeless Maria doesn't even have a house. She doesn't even have an address. When Shoeless Maria, is that offensive if I say Shoeless Maria? I'm just explaining a situation where a woman who's marched many miles to come to America with her children for a better life, it doesn't have any shoes on. And if Shoeless Maria shows up for a job interview, shoeless, and they say, hi, Maria, so you're here to apply for the job. And she's just nodding yes, because that's all she knows. And then they'll ask her, okay, Maria, well, where's your address? Where do you live? And she just kind of points to the air. She just, if you're afraid of losing your job to her, then you suck. Number 9, hairdressers, hairstylists, and cosmetologists. the female workforce of hairdressers, hairstylists, and cosmetologists, 92.1% female. Median pay. Oh, that's horrible. I thought they made more money than this. I swear I know hairdressers that make $100,000. Well, not all of them. Not the ones that work at Cost Cutters. Is Cost Cutters still a thing? Are they still around? Median pay is $24,830. Requirements, post-secondary certificate. Job growth outlook in the 10 years between 2018 and 2028, 8% job growth in hairdressers, hairstylists, and cosmetologists. Women make up a large majority of hairdressers, hairstylists, and cosmetologists. Typically, these jobs are available in a barbershop salon, but there's also an opportunity to offer these services in clients' homes. You can work for a larger company, or you can start your own business. There's a lot of flexibility in this field. All states require these professionals to be licensed. This means you would need a degree from a state-approved barber or cosmetology program. So, okay, fine. Barbers are men. Hairdressers, hairstylists, and cosmetologists, 92.1% of that field is women. And of the men, and I hope I'm not being stereotypical when I say this, it's usually gay men. Gay men, some, I got to be careful talking about the gays because if I say the wrong thing, I get upset. But the gays are allies because they're minorities too. But they're a different kind of minority because some gays are white. So they have the white privilege, but then some of that gets erased by the gay. But I think we're more accepting of the gay. Well, black people aren't. Y'all are so homophobic. It's so horrible. Like you're really bad. And don't get me started talking about the trans. Then black folks. Black people will talk, not all black people, some black people, well, are trans. But there's even black gays that don't like black trans people. I'll admit there's a lot I don't understand about gender dynamics and gender fluidity and gender identification. And I'm okay not knowing everything, but it's just a lot of it is very confusing and perplexing to me. But when I found out that there was a rift between gay people, gay black men sometimes have interesting and colorful things to say about trans people in general, because most of us cisgender heterosexual people, we think that they're all just a big group that's together. And because there's a lot of letters, LGBTQIA, and then for the ones that we didn't mention, there's, you just put the word, the plus on the end of it, a plus for everybody else. And I thought they were just all like organized and working together for equality and fairness and to get rid of bigotry and to be able to use whatever bathroom they want to use, which I'll admit, I don't care. Does it bother you that much if they go into, because I'm in the bathroom usually because it's business related. You know what I mean? I'm not in there to like buy Girl Scout cookies. I'm not in there to conduct transactions. I'm not in there to make friends. When I go to the bathroom, it's a real specific, very specific set of duties that I'm there to take care of, get it taken care of, wash the hands, paper towels, air dryer, boom, and that's it. So in me doing that, I don't care. Men and women, so there's a lot of unisex bathrooms, but the unisex bathrooms, are there bathrooms where there's women using the stalls and men using urinals? Do those exist? Is that legal? I wouldn't care personally because she's in a stall. You know what? Bathrooms should all be co-ed. Because women sit. They used to.
I've seen the bathrooms where it's like a two-way mirror at a bar and it's supposed to be like so guys and girls can hit on each other, like give each other like their numbers. It's weird.
Wait, in a bathroom?
Yeah.
In America?
Maybe.
That's not in Milwaukee, is it?
No.
Where is it?
I'll have to look that up.
Okay. You made it sound like you've been there.
I've just seen like videos of it. Is it's like a girl and a guy looking at each other into like the like by the sink area, not the whole bathroom. And then it's just like, hey, give me your number. Then you could like exchange numbers.
Why not just do that when you come out of the bathroom? Okay. I don't see that. And migrants want to come here for that? Number 8, dietitians and nutritionists. 93.1% of the workforce is female of dietitians and nutritionists. Oh, median pay ain't too shabby. $60,370 per year. bachelor's degree is required. Job growth outlook from 2018 through 2028, 11% job growth in dietitians and nutritionists. They aim to help people eat better and live a healthy lifestyle. They can work in a variety of settings, from hospitals and nursing homes to cafeterias and state governments. They also help clients prevent and treat common diseases, including the diabetes. Dietitians and nutritionalists, am I saying that right? Nutritionists typically need a bachelor's degree in food and nutrition or related degree, and many go on to secure more advanced degrees as well. So I'm going to give you the list of top 10 female-dominated industries. And do you guys know women that work in these industries? I know that I certainly do. But then I've got a kind of an interesting twist about a real detailed statistic about men that work in female-dominated industries. And I didn't see this one coming at all. Sometimes you read stuff and you get information and statistics that come totally out of left field. So I'm going to share that with you in a little while. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the official poet laureate of 101.7 The Truth, Mr. J.D. Masters. He's on hold. We'll talk to him in a second. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You can join us on YouTube if you go to youtube.com or open up your YouTube app on your smartphone or mobile device. Search 1017 The Truth. Of course, hit subscribe, and then you can see video of us in the studio. And there's also a comment section, which is always very interesting, insightful, and very much uncensored. Let's see if I can read any of these. DVJ says, not sure about channel 6 or 4. Or where Derek Rose is on 12 is from, but his co-anchor is from Michigan, and that Jerron Jordan is from Illinois. Also, Frankie Jupiter isn't from Milwaukee either. So Frankie Jupiter, who I think is on CBS 58, he's from New Orleans. If y'all over here searching for MPS graduates that work in Milwaukee television media, good luck. They're all from somewhere else. Y'all think because they're on the morning news here that they're from here? First of all, anchors don't even stay long. They might be here for a couple of years and they take off. Yeah, they're not from here. Well, I have a bet going on with one of the listeners of this program. He believes, because I try to make the point that MPS graduates are not Milwaukee's workforce. They are not the future of Milwaukee's workforce. I want them to be, and they should be, because there was a point in time where I bet 70%+ of the people that were working or employed in Milwaukee went to a Milwaukee public school. We need to get back to that. We're not there now, and there's reason for it. Parents don't want to send their kids to MPS. So we have to find reasons for children and parents to want to go to a variety of different public schools, not just King. Y'all make it seem like Rufus King is the only MPS school. It's a good school. Statewide, it's maybe average and maybe slightly above average. Nationwide, it's like 300th. It's not even that good. But because our standards here are so low, King looks like a stellar example, and King is also very selective. They talk about choice schools being selective. King is even more selective. What do they make those kids do to get into King? A blood test? They probably make them go through like the NFL combine. They got to run, catch. They got to know how to sew, probably. They got to know how to change an engine and a transmission. What do these kids have to do to get into King? Bench press 3 times their weight? DVJ says, also a lot of the sports radio people here in Wisconsin aren't from Wisconsin either. A lot of them are from Illinois. So you know what? Y'all need to worry about your jobs getting taken, not from Shoeless Maria, which Vanessa just told me was offensive. But if Maria doesn't have any shoes, what the hell do we call her? Duh. You got to worry about somebody from Illinois taking your job. Like Alex. Alex is from Illinois working at 101.7 The Truth. Illinois people like, y'all Wisconsin people are stupid. We're going to come across the border and take everything except a football win. You guys won't take that with you back to Illinois.
Just wait. Just wait.
Wait for what? We've been waiting for a long time.
Caleb. Caleb's my answer.
Oh, okay. Jordan Love is in the gym right now. Jordan Love is going to be nice next season. You already know. Aaron Rodgers, who? Aaron Rodgers was on the short list to be Robert Kennedy Jr.'s running mate, and then Robert Kennedy Jr. picks some other lady, Shanahan. Like, her husband or ex-husband founded Google, so she's got a bunch of money, whatever. But Robert Kennedy, like, I don't even understand what the appeal is. Hey, don't make me get into it, because I said some stuff about him that was very honest, but some of you might have thought it was offensive. You know, he was a junkie. He was on heroin for 14 years. You don't, and let me not minimize that, but that's one of those drugs where you're forever an addict. You can't give somebody that was addicted to heroin for 14 years, so he says, you can't give them keys to the U.S. Treasury. Like, he'll walk into the U.S. Mint and be like, oh, man. Oh, I could turn these gold bars into all sorts of things. No, you can't do that. Let's talk to you. Hi, JD. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I called about two other things, but you brought up King. I was at happy hour yesterday, and it was two ladies in there speaking Spanish. Come to find out, one of them was from Spain. She was getting her master's, and the other one is a teacher at a high-performing MPS school. And she said that the referendum really wouldn't affect her school because they're going to get private money for some tennis courts and some other things. And
did you say tennis courts?
Tennis courts.
Wow.
They're going to get tennis courts. Yeah, she was like, yeah, we're going to get some money, but they're seeking out private funds. And then she told me that I was like, well, what about Carmen? And she was like, I'm not too impressed with Carmen. She said those kids, they train them up. She said they train them up to get into college. They teach them how to do the FAFSA. They teach them how to do scholarship work. But when they get to school, they don't retain. She said, so the numbers is lying. Those kids do get into college, but they can't stay. And she said, them the top performing schools. So the fact that you had brought up King made me think that. I wasn't even really going to bring that up, but I think that's something else we need to talk about, because when I went and to UWM, I struggled a little bit until I found a white guy from West Dallas that the white kids didn't want to deal with. He was a little bummy, but he was super smart. And that's how I got through my economics class. Me, him, and another young lady formed a consortium, and we got all our work done. Mm. And the kids don't know how to build those coalitions when they get there, because the majority is usually white at a predominantly white institution, and they don't want to deal with black people, especially if you're a certain type of black person, you know. If you're not mixed and talking with that you know, they don't want to deal with you. So that was that.
Okay.
And then they do have the gender bathrooms here in Milwaukee. So where you talked about where it was it may be a woman in the stall and a man at the urinal at the Cactus Club, they got that. I've witnessed it, been in there where a woman has come out the stall and I'm using the urinal.
Did that make you uncomfortable?
Do have that currently. No, because that's what it is. I mean, you know, I'm not super young, but I ain't super old. That don't bother me. I don't care. You know, as long as everybody respected everybody's boundaries, like you said, you in there to handle your business.
Right. Bayview is a different kind of neighborhood.
It is. And then the other part of that is sometimes when I go to Bucks games, I'll go to the family bathroom because there's no waiting. Ooh. The family bathroom. It makes way more sense. The line at the men's room is super long.
Yes, it is.
The family bathroom, it's only one person waiting. I just go right in there and I'm good and I can go get my drink. People overthink stuff that really don't have nothing to do with them. And then the third thing I wanted to talk about is I just came from voting. And it was a steady stream of people coming in. I went to the Ziegler building and made sure to definitely vote no on the referendum, as I hope my other people do. Because it's not good for us for MPS to be spending money that they don't even have earmarked to continue to facilitate the growth of our children. So if they don't have a plan for it, we need to vote no, and I did. And that's what I got for you today, Sherwin. Thanks for getting me on.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call, as always. All right, let's talk to Al. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm doing good. I know. Now, I do know at the gym I go to here in Milwaukee, sometimes they have, you know, women coming in the male locker rooms, cleaning in while men that's in there, just to give y'all a heads up.
Wait, stop, Al. Hold on, stop. What?
Mm-hmm.
Women go in the men's locker room and do what?
Yeah, like they'll be cleaning the stalls, and men will be in there changing clothes. And I thought it was putting the business insurance, jeopardizing the business, the insurance of the business.
Wait, men are naked, and are the men naked? Because men in locker rooms.
Some of them do. Some of them, they'll just change their clothes, and she'll be in there clean. And I was like, oh, this is kind of kinky. But, you know, I'm like, well, I thought it was kind of, because I talked to one of the women at the front desk, and I said, you know, I think that's not safe for you to put you in that predicament where you have all these men in this men locker room and you're in there cleaning, because you might see something too long, too big. I just think it's an unsafe situation. You know, and she was like, well, they tell
her. Never been swallowed up.
And she said, and she was like, well, you know, they just told us, we just put a sign up, and as long as they know we're coming in there, they're fine. But to me, I just think it's bad for business, and I think it's an insurance policy that's getting ready to go through the roof. So I don't think that's safe for any business.
Al, what gym is it? What gym?
Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness. All of them like that.
Are you serious?
Planet Fitness. I kid you not. You could be in there butt naked, and she'll walk right in, start cleaning, and, you know, I don't have no problem with it. Cause,
I know you don't.
Hey. But anyway, moving forward, I heard you bring up the referendum. And another reason we need to be voting no, we don't need no unnecessary money going to no lawsuits neither. You know that, what's that guy, Kaluma Babloomla? You know, that teacher who put that boy in the closet for hours because he told the boy he was going to go to hell because he had gay parents. Now, me personally, I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't feel safe with this principal around my dogs, my fish, or any farm animal. I'm just being honest. But here's my thing with this so-called principal. Number one, you don't pick on no child. You take that up with the parents. And on top of this, NPF gave him a promotion as well, okay? Gave him a promotion. His last name is Kalumbula. I can't even pronounce it. But here's my thing. Don't pick on no young child. And let me show you how a lot of these, because he said his mama raised him this way. Let me show you how a lot of these religious people need psychiatric help, because it deals with mental slavery and fantasy thinking and hypnosis. He told the boy that he was going to go to hell. First of all, hell is the creation of the church. And ain't nobody ordained any of you religious colors to pick and choose and tell somebody where they need to go. He also did not tell that boy that came, no religious deacon or preacher can tell anybody where they're buried at in their Bible. You know what I'm saying? He didn't also tell that boy during slavery Jesus was watching. In the beginning he was watching, and at the end he was watching. He didn't tell that boy that neither. He also didn't tell that boy when Jesus supposedly died on that cross, this is the same Jesus who bragged about wickedness on the innocent, because you know anything deal with genocide deals on innocent people. But you want to go out your way to pick on a child and then tell the boy, if you tell your parents, I'll kill you. And he said, my mammy raised me this way. And these people wonder why that most religious people are the most evilest people that grace this earth. Now, you didn't take it up with the parents. You picked on a child. And then you took your religious beliefs, that is all fantasy thinking, to push your agenda. How dare you? And I'm going to tell you this, Mr. Hughes. If you told a bunch of people, don't get on that train, they say, no, God told me get on that train. I'm getting on that train because he spoke. He ordained me. And when they see that train getting ready to go off the cliff, they'll run to the front of their train and won't see no damn conductor, because that's how dumb and ignorant some black people get for that religion. So I had to share that with you. We don't need no unnecessary money going to no lawsuit due to somebody named Kaluma blah, 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 blah. I want to start talking. It comes. She, da, da, a rada, ta, 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 blah, 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 blah
So I just wanted to share that with you. We definitely need to vote no now, because now we're just paying for unnecessary lawsuits. Have yourself a great day, by the way.
Oh, thank you. You too, Al. You too. That was very an intellectually sound argument on why people are voting no on the referendum. And I have the story right here. A federal civil rights lawsuit has been filed accusing a Milwaukee public schools principal of abusing a first grader for having gay parents. We'll talk about that next. And we're going to get back to woman-dominated professional industries. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Make sure you download the free 1017 The Truth app, where you can stream this program and all the programs across our lineup right to your smartphone or other mobile device. That is the 1017 The Truth app. I'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
The lawsuit was filed March 22nd in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, according to a complaint from the attorney of the student's parents, assistant principal Kasongo Kalumbula. So, Al, you didn't say the name right. It is Principal Kasongo Kalumbula told the student his parents would, quote, burn in hell, and at one point threatened to kill the student if he told anyone about the abuse. How does somebody like that get to be a principal? The student is referred to as GL in the lawsuit. Kalumbula was GL's assistant principal at Milwaukee French Immersion School at the time of the allegations. The attorney for GL's parents, Elizabeth Lambert, writes in the complaint that GL was targeted by Kalumbula with harsh and damaging discipline, including locking him in a dark room for hours. Kalumbula is accused of not protecting GL from other students who bullied GL as well. This is horrible. How old was this child? A first grader? According to the complaint, GL's parents reported Kalumbula to the school's administration and school board, but Kalumbula retaliated by escalating his abuse. GL is in the psychiatric treatment for trauma and anxiety. The complaint states Kalumbula did not respond to a request for comment Tuesday. However, Kalumbula was promoted to acting principal of French Immersion despite the allegations. He left the school in 2021 and is currently a principal of Mary McLeod Bethune Academy, which is also a public school. So there was a movie that came out some years ago called Waiting for Superman, and it talks about the education of black children, specifically in Harlem, in public schools, charter schools, and private schools, and how they have a lottery system where children and parents that desperately want to leave a low-performing and failing public school have their names put in this big barrel, and they spin the barrel, and they reach in, and they pull out a name. Then that child gets to go to a higher-performing school. First of all, that shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be a lottery. It shouldn't be a gamble about a child's future and the kind of school they can attend, just like it shouldn't be a lottery where some states allow women reproductive rights and others don't. Wherever you go in this country, your medical freedoms and privacy should be the same, no matter what city, state, zip code, no matter what. All children, all of them deserve high performing schools, period, full stop, because the better educated they are, the better off we will be. It's a really, really simple concept, but they refer to this thing in the movie Waiting for Superman, which came out, 2012, 2013, maybe. Dr. Howard Fuller is in it, as he is a nationally renowned educator and was on a short list to be the Secretary of Education during, I believe, the Bush presidency. But obviously, Howard Fuller turned it down. They call it the Dance of the Lemons. Are you guys familiar with the Dance of the Lemons? Those of you that call yourselves experts on public education, you should know about the Dance of the Lemons. It is something similar that they do in the Catholic Church when it comes to a priest that offends, and it sometimes happens with police officers that may do something that goes against community sentiment. they'll move that cop somewhere else, or the cop will apply for a job somewhere else, or the city cop that maybe shot somebody or shot a child in the back will then become a county sheriff. The dance of the lemons means even if someone does really bad, they do a really bad thing, a horrible thing, a damaging thing, a traumatizing thing, they don't fire them, they just move them. Teachers that have no classroom management, that have poor performing children, and there's a repeated track record of like children that might go into a particular class with a particular teacher on grade level. By the time they're done at that school year, they're below grade level. Teachers that have no, they can't enforce any kind of discipline. Their classrooms are totally out of control. And there are some teachers that sit there and just read the newspaper or scroll on their phones while the kids are doing God knows what. They don't fire those teachers. They just move them. They call it the dance of the lemons. What I found so fascinating about the archdiocese here, the Catholic archdiocese here in southeastern Wisconsin, is the records that they have of the sexual abuse allegations of their priests, shockingly accurate. They document everything, and there was an open records request. I'm not sure how the information was obtained, but it was some years ago, and our local newspaper here, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, did an expose on priests going back almost 100 years, going back to the 1930s, every single one of their names and every single one of their allegations of sexual abuse of children spelled out in tremendous detail. Then it also details what the archdiocese did when they were made aware of these allegations. This goes back to the 1930s. They would remove the priest from that parish where they were accused of being a pedophile. They would send them to a church-ordered psychologist, okay? Then they would give them some time off and they would assign them to a new parish. All right. So they remove that church, that priest from the church, send them to a church appointed psychologist, which I got to see what a church appointed psychologist is, because the kind of psychology that psychology is, the kind of science that psychology is not biblical at all. So whatever. So they remove the priest, send them to a church-appointed psychologist. They get some counseling. They give them some time off. And then they reassign them to a different parish. And guess what happens? You guys want to guess? I bet you can figure it out. You want to guess? You want to play a guessing game? Yeah, they reoffend. They do. They molest another child. And guess what they do? They remove that priest from the parish. Again, send them to a church-appointed psychologist. Give them some time off. Oh, what do they do? They reassign them. And guess what happens after that? Do, 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 do. You need more time to think about it? There you go. They reassign them again. And only after like the third or fourth incident do they defrock them. You think they'd get defrocked in the first time. So then they take away their priest collar after they have done untold damage. And the archdiocese, they published all this stuff. That is how incredibly powerful, if not invincible, the Catholic Church used to be. Rembert Weakland, he was a former archbishop of the Milwaukee County Archdiocese some years ago. Dude wrote a book and talked about all the sexual assault he did. He was doing all the assaults. Oh, yeah, it was a Tuesday night. Sure. Yeah, it was Tuesday. Went down to choir practice or whatever he did. The dance of the lemons. And stuff like that. When institutions of religion or organized labor, like a police union or a teachers union, use their power to protect the worst amongst them, it harms the public perception of all of them. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Number seven, medical records and health information technicians. 93.6% of their workforce was female. Median pay is $40,350. Requirements, a certificate after high school. Job growth between the 10 years of 2018 and 2028 will be 11%. Medical records and health information technicians spend much of their time behind a computer. They organize, manage, and code patients' health records for insurance reimbursements, various databases and registries, and patient medical history records. Sometimes these jobs can be done remotely, and typically a bachelor's degree isn't required for these positions like other health-related professions on the list. The need for medical records and health information technicians is expected to grow as the country's baby boomer population continues to age. And so I'm giving you guys examples of the top 10 women-dominated industries. Men can get in these industries, too. Don't know why they don't. I don't know why we still are encouraging, coaxing, or funneling people into certain job industries based upon their gender. We need to stop doing that. But there's a very particular statistic. It's all going to crescendo with this statistic that I'm going to give you. And don't find it before me. Stop trying to Google stuff that I want to be able to tell you this stuff. Stop finding stuff on your own. You're taking my job away from me. You guys are worse than artificial intelligence. Just let me tell you. I got to make my point. I got to give you a whole bunch of necessary information, and then I'm going to drop the bomb on you. When men work in female-dominated industries. And why are we always telling men to go into the trades? Women can weld. Women can drive a crane. And women bulldoze. Hell, they bulldoze parent. They can drive a real bulldozer. That might be a bad idea. Mom, don't do it. What are you doing? They gave you a C+. I'm going to drive my bulldozer right through that damn school. No one's going to learn today. No one. Math class is canceled. She drives a bulldozer right through the elementary school. Let's read some of these text messages. I do apologize, guys, if I haven't gotten to your text messages at 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. It's been a lot of conversation going on today, which, of course, we love. Vanessa wants to know, Sherwin, could you please explain purchasing options for DJT? Do you guys know that Donald Trump's media empire, there's a stock that's being publicly traded? And I talked about it on maybe a Monday or Tuesday because the stock price was going through the roof. I checked it this morning. And I think it was going down. I would not encourage any of you to buy stock. And the ticker symbol is called DJT, surprise, surprise, his initials. But the name of the company is, yeah, I have it on my watch list just so I can keep an eye on it. Because I asked y'all yesterday, would it be immoral to make money? Donald Trump Media and Technology is what the name of the, oh yeah, it's going down. Because I asked y'all if it would be immoral while Donald Trump's DJT stock, Donald Trump Media and Technology, if you were to buy stock in that company and it was going up and then you sold it for a profit and then you took that money and you maybe invested in like black colleges and universities, or if you gave it as a campaign contribution to the Democrats, well, then no, I don't think it would be immoral at all. But now it's going down. And then somebody had asked me about options trading, which I prefer to buy and sell call and put options as opposed to buying individual shares of stock. If I'm buying individual shares of stock, you need a lot of patience. You need years. I don't want to wait years for my stocks to go up 5% a year, down 10% 1 year, up 9% the next. I don't like that, those kind of swings in my investments. Options, while it is infinitely more risky, the amount of money you can make trading options, when I say it's unlimited, it's unlimited. I've seen options contracts, and I tried to explain it once before. It doesn't translate very, very well trying to talk through it on the radio. But what I did recommend, and I recommended a video in the Hughes Views Facebook group. There's so many really good YouTube videos with great visual aids that tell you step by step everything you need to know to buy and sell call and put options. A call option is basically You are purchasing a contract believing that a stock price is going to go up. And as the stock price goes up to a certain dollar amount, you make money on the way up. So let's say a stock is at $5 a share. You believe it's going to go up to $10 a share. So you buy the $10 call option. So as that stock goes $5.50, $5.75, $6, $7, $8, you are making money on that options contract. Okay. And in the event that that stock that originally was $5, you thought it was going to go up to 10, and it does go up to 10. Let's say it goes up to 20. You have two options. That's why they call it options trading. You can take all the money that you made on the contract while the stock was getting to $10, or when the stock reaches $10 or $20 or whatever it is by the expiration date, you can purchase that stock at $5 because that is what your original, the original stock price was when you bought the contract. So you could have a stock that is now $30 a share, but you bought the call option contract at $5 a share. So this allows you to buy a stock that is now $30, but you're only paying $5 a share. And then you sell those shares and you can make money on top of that as well. It is incredibly risky. There have been, I used to be more heavily into it. So probably last fall, I would options trade, but I would do it, I would day trade options. So the stock market opens at 8:30. I go on the air at 9 o'clock, and I didn't like trading options while I was on the air because you got to watch it and you got to hit a sell button or you have to initiate transactions sometimes in a moment's notice. There were days where in my walk from the show prep room, we have a show prep room here at Good Karma Brands, and that's upstairs. In my walk from the show prep room down to the studio, which is maybe 75 seconds, I made $500. By the time I walked down the stairs and I sold my options. So there's a way in which you can make money, but you have to be willing to lose everything. And there were also days where I lost money too. But if you have a little extra money to play with, that's why I always encourage people when you get your income tax return, first pay off your debt, pay off your credit cards, you know, pay recurring bills up for a couple of months so you don't have to worry about them for a couple of months. Pay your car insurance up for 6 months if you can. Pay your cell phone bill. Pay your Wii Energy's bill. But whatever money you have left, I don't want to say gamble with it, but I would rather people put money in the market because there's so many ways you can make money in the market as opposed to just going to the casino. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour 3.